Blog Talk Radio.
Like an angel. Oh yeah. Today, February 10th, 2011. Washington, D.C. United States of America. Planet Earth. Third planet from the sun. I am back. I'm back in my hotel room here. I'm over at Bolin Air Force Base. And I was attending CPAC today. I wanted to broadcast live from CPAC, but I couldn't find an area where it would be suitable to set up. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, and I want to get this party started. CPAC was wonderful today. Wow. I had such a great time. This occasion marks the first time that I've attended CPAC. And I tell you what, I had a really good time. I got an opportunity to meet with a lot of the folks there. I got to meet Representative Newt Gingrich. I got to meet, so many really, really nice people. It was great. I got to meet Michelle Bachmann. It was a really good time. I wish more folks could, more conservative citizens could experience what I did today. The crowds were massive. It was an extremely jovial time. It was an overwhelming experience, and I really had a good time at CPAC today. So, with that said, let's get this party started. I want to talk a little bit about some of the events of today, including what's going on at CPAC. Mm-hmm. And I nearly forgot to mention. That I got an opportunity to meet Alan West and did I mention that I got to meet Newt Gingrich? I got to meet Governor Haley Barbour and John Bolton. I got to meet Andrew Breitbart. Wow, I wanted to ask for autographs. I sure did, but I didn't. I didn't think it was appropriate to ask for an autograph at CPAC, but I want to tell you, I had a really great time, and I wanted to meet I wanted to meet the Donald, but he was gone before I got there. I'd been out doing a couple of other things. It was so much fun. I'm going to go ahead and log in here to my to the CPAC website, and then we're going to go over some things that occurred during the day. It was a really great time. I can't say it enough. I had a really great time. So, how many times have I said that? Like, you know, 5-6 times already? Okay, let's get this party started. CPAC is 2012, broadcast live. It's going to be all weekend long. It's going to be great. There's some other things that are going on that are really important. For example, our president, Mr. Barack Obama, I can't keep talking about this guy enough. What part of "we don't have any money" doesn't this guy understand? I'll ask again, and I'll ask rhetorically, what is it about liberals that believe that that it's okay to spend other people's money, and that it's also okay to spend money we don't have? I mean, are you kidding me? What's going on with the high-speed rail and the high-speed internet and all of that? The president of the United States wants to go ahead and spend, let's see, how much does this guy want to spend now? $9.6 billion. Over the next 10 years to expand high-speed wireless internet. Why? Is that so important right now? I mean, what does he know something that we don't know? Because I'm being told, and I'm getting information all over town, that we're out of money. That we're in a hole. So if that's the case, why spend more money? Take you and I, for instance. If we don't have any money, say we have a lot of bills to pay, credit card bills, food bills, electricity, all that, and instead of going out and paying off our debt, we decide that we're going to go buy a new Xbox 360 or a new high-speed internet for the house. Now, say I've got a house, I've got a mortgage to pay, I've got insurance on the house, insurance on my car, we've got all sorts of other bills, electricity, all those bills coming due. We don't have enough money to pay for everything that we need to pay, and yet I'm going to go ahead and decide that I'm going to take my meager amounts of money that's coming into the house. Now imagine this on a federal level. I'm going to take the money that's coming into my household, and instead of paying off my debts, I'm going to call Charter Communications and say, "Hey, Charter, you know what? I've got 5 megabytes per second here, and what I'd really like to go up to is your 60 meg package. And I know that your 60 meg package is going to cost me another $54 on top of what I'm paying right now. I know that. So in addition to that amount, I'm going to go ahead and pay that, and then I'm not going to pay my bill." I mean, isn't that what this guy's doing? Does winning the future mean bankrupting us today? That's my question. Are we winning the future and bankrupting today? Because high-speed internet in the overall scheme of things here with our in our great nation, it shouldn't really be all that important. Neither should high-speed rail. I mean, forgive me, but shouldn't high-speed rail and high-speed internet, high-speed wireless internet go to, just guessing, the private sector? Shouldn't these be private sector things that happen? I mean, private sector companies doing this. Why is the government getting involved in these things? We're broke. Or am I the only one who didn't get the joke? Perhaps we're not broke. Perhaps I'm the one who's clueless here. Because as it stands, I'm starting to feel like we got tons of money to spend. Apparently, President Obama believes that we do. Are you kidding me? High-speed wireless internet, the government wants to invest in that? This guy's got to be out of his mind. Now, moving on, the CBO director says Obamacare would reduce employment by 800,000 workers. I'm not sure exactly why that will be. Let's take a look. Let's listen. I mean, let's check it out for a second. Testifying today before the House Budget Committee, Congressional Budget Office CBO Director Doug Immendorf confirmed that Obamacare is expected to reduce the number of jobs in the labor market by an estimated 800,000. Here are excerpts from The Exchange. Chairman Paul Ryan. It's been argued that the new health care law will create jobs and increase labor force participation. If I recall from your analysis, it was quite the opposite. Is that not the case? Director Douglas Elmendorf. Yes. Representative John Campbell. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Dr. Elmendorf, and we'll continue this conversation right now. First, on health care, before I get to broader issues, you just mentioned that you believe or that in your estimate that the health care law would reduce the labor used in the economy by 0.5%. Given that, do you believe that there is 160 billion full-time people working in 2021? You know what? I will predict right now, right here and right now, that if the Supreme Court does not strike down this insane health care law that obviously was not well thought out, that there will be a revolution in this country. There will be revolt. Because this thing is a mess. And here's the reason why it's such a mess. It's a mess because the Democrats put this thing together so very quickly. And, of course, nobody read it. And do I need to repeat what that airhead Nancy Pelosi had to say about it? We'll have to pass the bill in order to find out what's in it. Now, I kind of understand what she really meant by that. She'd have to pass the bill in order for everybody to get a good look at what's in it, and they already know what's in it. But apparently they did not. This is a mess, and this is what happens when you know you've got both the House and the Senate, as President Obama did during his first two years in office, and you know that you're not going to have either the House or the Senate. You're going to lose one, perhaps even both. And so you rush through legislation as quickly as you can without really giving it some serious thought. You put this together, you've got 10, 12 senators getting involved, maybe more. You've got most of the House getting involved, putting in their 2 cents here and there. And then you come up with a serious mess. And that's what we have in today's health care law. It is a seriously flawed mess. And I, for one, I'm sick of this. And you should be too. I mean, wow. So now we're hearing that jobs are going to be eliminated as a result of the health care law, not to mention all the other problems it's going to create. I want to reiterate something right now. Because you know, I said this on a couple of other blog talk shows before. I'm a 28-year Marine veteran. I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17 years old. I just retired recently. I have had the opportunity to visit. Now Navy hospitals, they're just fine. But it's the VA hospitals that's a problem. And here's what I recommend, and I've recommended this before in other blog talk shows. If you really want to know how government handles health insurance, visit any VA hospital in your area. You just walk in and just kind of hang out in the waiting area. Walk around a little bit. Maybe even take a walk onto some of the wards. It's just as easy to get into as any other hospital. And if, in fact, you spend, I recommend spending maybe about 45 minutes walking around. If at that time, just during that 45 minutes to an hour of your time spent, that you believe that the government knows what's best in terms of health care, then by all means, stick with it. But remember this. The government runs the post office, deeply in debt, dysfunctional. Folks are discourteous. It doesn't really work. The government runs Amtrak. Speaking of high-speed rail, for the last 25 years, Amtrak has been, you're very welcome, Loki, you're very welcome. Amtrak has been in debt. So, I mean, deeply in the red, so much that it had to be bailed out numerous times. Amtrak, I mean. The government doesn't do anything right in terms of running projects. Some people who know what I'm talking about remember the times in the early 80s, just after President Reagan took office, where companies were charging the government $400, $500 for toilet seats. $750, that's the amount I remember that private companies were charging the government for hammers. And the government was buying all this stuff. No problem. We've got money. We've got more money than God. But we don't. The government is dysfunctional, especially when it comes to running anything. The only thing that the government does well at running is the United States military. And that's because, well, the government isn't really running it. Not the bureaucrats, not the House or the Senate. Oh, yeah, they approve budgets. Sure, they do. They confirm general officers. Yes, they do. But that's about it. Pretty much hands off after that. The generals and the warriors run the military. That's the only reason why it doesn't suck. Not really. And while we're on the subject of health care, the Senate Majority Whip, Dick Durbin, likes to taunt his Republican colleagues. He argues that Obamacare can't be repealed because 60 votes are required to end debate in the Senate on any measure. And he's right. Even though Republicans will likely win control of the Senate in 2012, Mr. Durbin is right that they probably won't get to 60 senators. That would require the GOP to win back more than half of the Democrat seats up next year. Now, Representative Jim Moran, Democrat of Virginia, recently called GOP promises of repeal a political scam on their base, that it can't happen. But not so fast. Now, Keith Hennessey, a former White House colleague of a friend of mine, says that Democrats are wrong. He argued to me that Republicans can repeal health care reform with a simple Senate majority. But will it come to that? Because from what I've been told, under rule, I think it's 11, of the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court may take this up sometime this year. And a 5-4 vote in favor of scrapping this whole monstrosity is very likely. Now, the director, yes, nullification can as well, Loki. You're absolutely right. But the director of the National Economic Council under President Bush, Mr. Hennessey, who now teaches at Stanford Business School and is a research fellow at the Hoover Institution, last week on his website, well, he made the case that congressional Republicans could use the reconciliation process. Boom. I'm just reading that right now on Democrats Can't Filibuster Obamacare Repeal from the Wall Street Journal. He says that Republicans can kill Obamacare with 51 votes in the Senate and a majority in the House of Representatives, which we are more than likely to have. Now, the Budget Act of 1974 established the reconciliation process, and the House and Senate budget committees can direct their committees to make changes in mandatory spending. So what we have here is an opportunity to repeal, or rather nullify, Obamacare. There seems to be avenues open for Republicans to either repeal or use nullification in 2012, or the Supreme Court ruling that the Commerce Clause, well, that part of the deal is unconstitutional. And I'm really digging this whole process because, you know, I have friends who live in other countries, Canada, for example. And, you know, yes, there are quite a few Canadians, and I'll use them as example because they're the closest, who really like their universal health care. But there are so many more who cross the border every single day to get care here in the United States because of the long, long waits for health care. Now, we thought that Mr. Mubarak was going to leave office today, but he didn't quite make it. And the Saudis asked that America butt out. I thought that President Obama was supposed to be the great communicator, the rock star, the guy who would bring us all together, baby Jesus. Now we're finding out that President Obama doesn't have the juice that that everyone thought he did, because he's being told, hey, you know what, this is none of your business, move on. Saudi Arabia is saying to President Obama directly move on. Keep your mouth shut. And the problem with President Obama is a very simple one. The guy is butt-ass lazy. He is not the smart genius that everyone's making him out to be. This is a case where there's been too much promise built up with this guy, and he does not have the tools to fulfill this great promise that so many people wore, all this hope and change crap. The guy was a junior senator from Illinois. He rarely ever voted or stood for anything in the Illinois Senate. Once he got to the national stage, he rarely voted or stood for anything in the Senate. Now he's president, and he's pissing off everybody. Everybody's being annoyed by this guy. You know, it's okay that he's likable, that he's charming, he's got a nice smile, he wears a nice suit. But as I've stated many times, what I just described is your average everyday con man. What I described is your average everyday rogue, a guy who will smile and grin and flatter you and make you feel good, while simultaneously lifting your wallet. And that's what Obama is. He is a thief. He is a con artist. Ralph Nader had it right. Ralph Nader's been around a long, long time. And did he not have it right when he labeled President Obama just 2 months ago as just a con man, just a con artist? He doesn't have the intellectual tools or the intestinal fortitude, or more importantly, the experience to do what needs to be done to make the tough calls. As Sarah Palin said just a few days ago, the phone rang at 3 a.m. and it went to the answering machine. Now he's got Saudi Arabia all up in arms, and they're saying, hey, butt out. Is this how you treat your friends? Is this how you treat your friends? Mubarak and Saudi Arabia are good friends. And Obama is standing for nothing. Just his usual wait and see attitude. Don't take a stand. Don't take a stand on anything. Remember this. He did not write the health care law. He did not weigh in on it. No, because he's basically a one lazy ass shit. That's what he is. I'm surprised he's not back out on vacation right now. Because isn't it about time that he head out for another vacation? Another lengthy vacation at taxpayer expense? I mean, it's time, isn't it? So that's what he really should be doing. Go. Go, 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 go. Why is it that his poll numbers go up when he leaves town? I've gotten off track. He is pissing the whole world off. And you know what's so interesting is that he's pissing off the people who are our allies, our long-standing allies. For decades, Great Britain, for example, agreed, according to WikiLeaks documents, which have all been proven so far to be accurate, damaging yet accurate, that he had agreed, without consulting the British, to give away their nuclear secrets to the Soviets in exchange for the START Treaty. Were the British consulted? No. But apparently Obama has some sort of deep-seated psychological grudge against the British. Walked in the office the very first day, saw a bust of Winston Churchill, and demanded that it be sent back. Classless. gave the Queen a gift, an iPod with all of his speeches on it, a very classy move. Gave the Prime Minister a box set of DVDs. That he couldn't even play on his player. Nobody even checked to verify that the DVDs were playable in Great Britain. This dude is pissing off everybody. So now he's gotten half the country mad at him or not approving of him. And in addition to that, he's got half of the rest of the world pissed at him now. And he's got the half that really matters, the half that has stuck with his country for decades. Great Britain, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, on and on and on and on. All this guy has done is piss people off with his indecision, his total lack of decisiveness. You know what, Barack Obama, I mean, you can be president. I mean, we have elected presidents in this great country. But just because you earn an election, you win an election, and you sit in the Oval Office, and you have the title of Chief Executive, President of the United States, doesn't mean that you're a leader. It doesn't mean that you have the tools to lead. It just means that you won an election, a national election, a very important election. You are the leader of the free world, but that doesn't mean that you have leadership tools, intuition. There is a reason why Marines, and I'll use Marines because I was a Marine for so long, that we either succeed or fail based on our leadership skills. There's a reason why young college students who want to become Marine officers aren't simply appointed Marine officers. There are numerous tests. There are numerous tests of ability, mental ability, leadership ability, before you can earn the title of Marine officer and be placed in a position to lead other Marines. Barack Obama simply won an election. With that election does not come, leadership skills do not come with that election. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have what it takes. It's obvious. He smiles. He grins. He's real polite. He's real nice. Oh, yeah, he's just great. He's just a con artist in a really nice suit. I mean, really, when you have Saudi Arabia hold the keys to the car, speaking of the car and driving the car in the ditch and all that crazy stuff, they have the keys to the car because they have the keys to the oil. And they've got certainly more money than the United States of America at this point to throw around. So they're saying to President Obama, back off. Back off, my buddy Mubarak. Because that paltry little $1.2 or $3 billion that you throw their way, we can handle that easily. I mean, pretty much, that's pretty much what they say, the Saudis. So, you know, here's what I think. George Bush couldn't have been that bad. Was he that bad of a president that we as Americans felt the need to elect a president who simply has no leadership skills whatsoever? leadership. According to Fox Nation, Obama was asked about Egypt. His response was, "We're going to have to wait and see what's going on." We're going to have to wait and see what's going on. Wow. Now, if Michelle Bachmann had responded that way, certainly if Sarah Palin, if that was lost my connection for a minute, and I'm back. Obama did say that the people of Egypt are calling for change. Wow, that was clever. What a... You know, I have a 22-year-old young Marine Second Lieutenant son, Nicholas. I think... Now, I may be biased. I think that young Mr. Nicholas has more leadership skills and intestinal fortitude than our commander-in-chief. Certainly as much, if not more, intellect. This guy is a mess. You know what? When you say that there are those who are saying that he's reminded of Jimmy Carter. No, Jimmy Carter, that's a slur against Jimmy Carter. This guy is far worse than Jimmy Carter. He is mismanaging everything he touches because he doesn't have the tools. A community organizer from the south side of Chicago won the election to the Senate on a fluke. The gentleman who, of course, I was going to vote for him, Mr. Ryan, was beating Barack Obama for the race in the Senate from Illinois. I think the margin, if I recall correctly, was somewhere around, well, it was a wide margin. I can't recall the exact numbers. I don't want to just throw anything out there. But the Republican candidate was beating Barack by a wide margin. All of a sudden, Mr. Ryan's divorce papers were made public after they had been sealed for such a long time. He was married to actress Jeri Ryan. And it was revealed in those divorce papers that Jeri complained that her husband, Mr. Ryan, wanted her to participate in a sex club or some such thing, wife swapping. I'm not even sure which one it is. It's one of those two, though. He was forced to drop out, leaving the way clear for Barack Obama to run virtually unopposed because Alan Keyes was brought in just a few days later to take that spot. Alan Keyes is not from Illinois. But that's all they could find at such short notice. So Barack Obama won the Senate race handily against Alan Keyes. Had it not been for those divorce papers being made public, we would not even have this silliness, this silly season of Barack Obama, because Ryan had that race won. My goodness, you know, I am just so dejected and embarrassed by this current administration, not just the President of the United States, because I've singled him out quite a bit, but his whole, the whole crew. And to find out just recently that Mr. Obama has yet to even meet with the majority of his cabinet. He's been in office for 2 years. There are several cabinet members that he hasn't even met with yet. How does that happen? I thought, aren't you supposed to sit around in a table with everybody, like Reagan and Bush and Clinton and all those folks did, and you got them all around the table and you got pictures taken and you're sitting around a big table with your cabinet? That's how I remember it. Why hasn't the President of the United States taken the time to meet with members of his cabinet that he's never met with? You know what? I almost didn't believe that. I was going to give the President of the United States the benefit of the doubt and not believe, because it's impossible. And it is too bad Barry's papers can't be made public, because we'd like to see those. You know what? I'm not a birther. I don't believe in that, all that. But at this juncture, I would really like to see that birth certificate. I would really like to see those college transcripts, because this guy is proving that he is anything but brilliant. How do you not meet with several of your cabinet members? Why is it that you need to use a teleprompter to address a group of fifth graders? Is this guy a genius? Okay, moving right along. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer announced Thursday that her state will file a countersuit against the federal government, claiming Washington has failed to enforce immigration law along the southern border. The governor said the federal government hasn't secured the state's border with Mexico and has stuck Arizona with the cost tied to illegal immigration. Once again, wasn't this guy supposed to be bringing us all together? Wasn't it supposed to be about hope and change? I never bought any of it. Not one bit. But a lot of people did. When was the last time we had this much trouble with our federal government? Not even during Bush's 8 years in office has this country been so divided, not even with the Iraq War, which I participated in both, and Afghanistan, that too. Not even with those two wars going on has America been so deeply divided. This president has divided the United States of America and isolated us from our greatest allies. And that's probably why he hasn't met with them. Maybe they have some British ancestry, Loki. Maybe he's delved into their backgrounds and come to believe that, you know, maybe they came in, their ancestors came in over on the Mayflower, and he's pissed off about it. Because apparently he's got a burr up his butt over any and all things Britain or British. Now, according to Jan Brewer, this announcement is the latest swipe in the ongoing legal dispute between Arizona and the U.S. Department of Justice over the state's tough immigration law. After the Obama administration challenged that law, a judge last year blocked key portions of it from going into effect. While the case is on appeal, Brewer said the countersuit will be filed as part of the federal government's challenge. So now we have lawsuits going back and forth. We have a majority of the states filing suit on behalf of this disastrous health care law. We have Arizona, and probably Texas is going to file as well, lawsuits against the federal government. When did this ever occur before? You know what? If anyone can think of a time where this country has been so deeply divided since Vietnam, where suits are flying back and forth, I'd really like to know about it. Because I've done a little bit of research recently, and I can't recall a time where we have been so deeply divided. And nor can I recall a time when we have been so deeply isolated from our friends around the world. Except, of course, during Jimmy Carter's years. Even with President Reagan, super hawk that he was, we were respected. Now, where is the respect? Where is the love? So now, Jan Brewer says, it's outrageous the United States Department of Justice sued the people of Arizona to stop Bill 1070. Our message for the federal government is very simple. Use federal resources to combat the cartels who are breaking the federal law. It's Barack Obama's job to do this, and he won't do his job. Why is this guy president of the United States? What the hell does he do in his job besides vacation and smile a lot? I mean, honestly. I mean, seriously, it's hard for me to get this out. I rooted for Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton because I despised Hillary even more than I despised Obama, believing firmly that John McCain would beat Obama and I wouldn't have anything to worry about. Every single day during the campaign, I rooted for this guy over Hillary. Right now, I take Hillary. Damn it. What does this guy do in his job besides vacation and bow down to every foreign potentate, dictator, leader, what have you? This guy is Neville Chamberlain all over again. Neville Chamberlain has been reincarnated. This guy does nothing. High-speed rail, are you kidding me? High-speed wireless internet? Spending money we don't have on such things? I find this to be completely unacceptable. And I hope that the Congress lives up to its word and lives up to its promise and puts a stop to all this. When Barack Obama submits his budget on Monday, I hope that they go through that budget with a red pen and unmark all this crap. High-speed internet, wireless internet, are you kidding me? High-speed rail? What the hell? Now, Arizona, back to Arizona. Arizona plans to sue on five different counts, including a claim that the federal government has failed to enforce immigration laws enacted by Congress, and a claim it has failed to reimburse the state for costs associated with jailing criminal immigrants. The original Arizona immigration law was passed following years of complaints that the federal government hadn't done enough to lessen the state's role as the nation's busiest illegal entry point. Well, one of the good byproducts of us having an awful, terrible, horrible economy is that a lot of illegals won't be working. They might be headed back to Mexico. Now, I have no issues with Hispanic workers working here in the United States. As long as they're legal and paying taxes, like I have to do when I go to work. But it seems to me that this guy is asleep at the wheel. On almost every issue. Once again, he did not participate actively in the health care legislation. He's supposed to be a professor of constitutional law in my hometown of Chicago at the University of Chicago, prestigious University of Chicago. No, he was not a professor of constitutional law there. He was an instructor. Once again, as I stated on previous shows, I was an instructor at William & Mary. You know what that means? That means that when the professor didn't feel like teaching class that day, I substituted for him and got through his lesson plan as best I could. Sometimes I fetched his coffee and picked his laundry up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. An instructor is nothing more than a grad student filling in for the professor. And that is exactly what Barack Obama was at the University of Chicago. All this talk about him being a professor of constitutional law, he was a simple instructor, a visiting instructor at that. He didn't even have a full-time gig going on. This guy has been built up to be this genius. This uber politician. Some claim he's Jesus. Come back. No. Obviously, he's just a simple man who puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like I do. With a nice smile, he wears a nice suit. And all this talk about him being so eloquent. Well, hell, my dog can be eloquent if you put a teleprompter in front of him. Are you kidding? How hard is it to show eloquence when reading prepared text? Did Thomas Paine have a teleprompter? Did Benjamin Franklin use a teleprompter? Did Thomas Jefferson use a teleprompter? Oh, did Abraham Lincoln use a teleprompter? Come on. Eloquent? How hard could that be? This guy is a puppet. He is an empty suit. And I am sick and tired of his inaction and inability to get things done. Because all this talk about getting things done, he's not getting anything done. You know what? I'm embarrassed that Barack Hussein Obama is my president. All this talk about, hey, you know what? Why are you so against Barack Obama? He's black just like you. Are you kidding? Every time I hear that, and I hear it an awful lot, I heard it again today, I just want to grab that person by the neck and strangle him. What the hell does being black have anything to do with a president who seems to be inept and in way over his head? So, the guy and I are not, he's not my buddy. Barack Hussein Obama and I are not buddies. Just because he's black and I'm black and we're all black doesn't mean that I'm going to stand by him like, wow, Because I'm sick and tired of black folks approaching me saying that, how could you not like our president? How could you not stand by our president? He's black just like you. Boy, I tell you what, if I hear that just one more time, I'd better not. Because it's embarrassing. He's embarrassing. Where have you gone, Ronald Reagan? Because damn. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have a much better day. And things will go a little bit better. I'll be here in Washington, D.C. at CPAC all weekend long. I'm going to try to report live from CPAC. I'm going to try to set up using the MacBook Pro and report live at CPAC. I'm going to try to get Donald. I'm going to try to get Sarah. No, she won't be there. She won't be here. I'm going to try to get somebody to come on the air with me. We're going to see how that works out tomorrow. I'm going to try to get somebody. Once again, thank you for listening. I'm here at CPAC. It's great. I'm having a great time. Wish you were here. Thanks, Chesler. Thanks, Loki, for listening. I do appreciate it. I'm here at CPAC. I'm going back over there in a little while. We're headed over to Georgetown. Going to party like it's 1981 and 82. Wonderful. Thank you. Good night. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.